when I prepare for this, I know different ministers do it in different ways, but I hope I never come across as lecturing, because I've been in lectures and they're not that fun, you know? And most of the time, it's something that I feel like God's sharing in my heart and in my life that I want to share with other people. Sometimes it's a random thing that will hit me, and I kind of just go down that rabbit trail and study about that. But in this case, for this week, this word kind of came to me last Sunday, and I've been kind of thinking about it and kind of forming my thoughts around it. And then as the week progressed, like, just different things started happening where it kind of challenged this word, if that makes sense. So I was kind of going down, you know, we hear about it, you know, in the parable of the sower, that you hear the word and immediately it's grabbed, or you get challenged on it. And I was just thinking, as the week was progressing, this was like the direction I wanted to go on. This is what I wanted to talk about. But as the week was happening, I was feeling real challenged on it. And I was also feeling like, why should I talk about this? Because I've kind of failed in this area a couple times this week and all these things. But yesterday, as we were just running to and from, I just felt like, nope, this is definitely the direction we need to go. And so we're going to talk today about edification. Edification literally means building up, to build up. And some of you guys know that my first year out of high school, I moved to Mexico and worked with a church there. And during the summer times, we would have groups at that time come in and from all across the United States come in and work with us. And they had a Bible college at the place I worked at, and so there was dormitories, and so everybody would stay in the dorms, and then we'd go out. So typically how we did this is we would go out in the mornings and canvass the neighborhood and go door-to-door to businesses, go door-to-door to houses, and hand them a flyer, invite them to a service that night, a tent meeting that night, and pray with them if they wanted prayer. And so we would do that all through the day, go home and rest for a little bit, and then come back out. And typically, like, somebody from that church would do the message. Well, my boss, so to speak, was a man named Bobby Crow. He still lives there, and they've just been huge, great friends of my parents and huge influence of mine, second parents to me. And so, you know, I'm kind of an intern at this point. And so different things that I'm just usually a grunt. I'll do whatever you want me to do, you know, and kind of make sure the groups are where they're supposed to be and stuff like that. And a few weeks in, he gave me my first job, if you want to say that. And he goes, okay, so what you're going to do is you're going to open up the service. You're going to go up first and you're going to just give an edifying word, a word of encouragement to the congregation. And I was like, no, I'm not. And he said, well, you can tell me no once, and then I won't ask you again. And so I was like, okay, this is why I'm here, you know. So I would get up first before the groups came up, before the offer, you know, all that stuff, and I would just give a word of encouragement. And so looking back now, this was a huge gift to me. It's actually when my dad asked me, probably quite a few years ago now, that I was going to be responsible for the offering portion of a service, whether I find someone to do it or I do it myself or whatever, but I was going to take on that job. I was feeling a little intimidated. That's not the right word. I hope you guys can read through that word. Job is not the right word, but that was going to be my responsibility. And when I first took that on, I was like, I do not want to talk about tithes and offerings every week. That's not actually my favorite subject. And I was brought back to those days when I was at the tent meetings, and I'm like, no, I'm going to give a word of encouragement. So that's been my goal. Have I ever always succeeded? Probably not. But that is my goal when I get up here, is to give an encouraging word for the week and whatever. And it really, really influenced my life. And I think back on those times where Bobby was kind of training me up in this and explaining how he wanted it to be done and all that, it was really beneficial for me. And it's not easy, but, you know, it's easier to get up every week and say something encouraging than to be surrounded by people during the week and try to encourage them. Does that make sense? Because sometimes they're draining me. My little sweet little buddies this week had me kind of flustered sometimes. And my role is to, you're doing great. Keep it up. Those weren't always the words that were coming out of my mouth this week. And so it's not always my first reaction as a human to edify someone. It's not always my, like, you're doing so great. You're doing awesome. Or, you know what I mean? Whatever we want to say and use in those. I wish I was. I'm just not naturally that person. When we were sitting in the meeting on Tuesday, the meeting ended. And, of course, my dad sees everything very optimistic, and I take the opposite approach of that usually. And I told the builder that. I said, listen, I need to ask you a couple questions. My dad's so optimistic. I'm not. So I just need some clarification on some things. You know, like, I'm just not the naturally, like, bubbly person. It takes me, you know, I got to be very mindful of of encouraging people, because it's not that I don't want them to feel encouraged. It's just not always the first reaction that I have. And sometimes when I have people really close to me, that's even, they're the hardest people to want to encourage and to edify, because they're a little, I can list a lot of things that they need to work on over what I think that they're doing right. You know what I mean? So it is, again, not, it's just not my natural bent in personal relationships. I am extremely grateful for the people I have in my life that come in and cheerlead me on. I'm like, you guys are great. I should probably repay that sometime. You know, like, it is a wonderful gift. And actually, it's talked about in the New Testament how it is one of the gifts. You know, there's a gift of prophecy, there's a gift of all that. There's a gift of edifying and to build up, and we're going to talk about that. So in Colossians, this is going to kind of be like the verse that is going to start off our foundation of today is in Colossians 2, and it's going to be 6 through 7. And it says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. So we've received Christ. We've acknowledged we want him in our life. We have acknowledged that, you know, all that. Now our job is to be rooted in him and to be continually built up, which means, as we talked about last week, as we grow, we might find out there were things that we thought we were right in that we're not right in. And so we're going to have to address that. But we're continuously being built up in our relationship with God and in our faith. And you know, the ways we do that is to stay in the Word and to stay around people that edify you and to stay in an environment where you're just, you know, in communication and prayer with him, and you're having those daily conversations and all that. And then being overflowing with gratitude for what he's done for us. When we are in a place of gratitude, that puts us in a whole nother position in our life and how we interact and treat other people and how we make our decisions. Man, if you're making decisions out of fear and not like, man, I know confidence and gratitude that what God said he's going to do, he's going to do, that's two different things, you know. And so all that, but as we've come to this point in our life, we're rooted in him now. Now we should be building up. And then we see that it, if I'm being built up and I'm established in him, then my job is to then go build up other people, to encourage other people, to remind them when they're down of the goodness of God. And, you know, this isn't always the easiest thing. I've watched my dad do this for years. My dad will come in a situation, and he will pray with people, and he will believe with people, and he will build up their faith, encourage, stir up their faith a little bit, you know, and get them through a crisis. And I've seen it multiple times. Those people turn on him eventually and go, you represent a God that has let me down, and I don't want anything to do with it. You know, so it's not always an easy job to come into a situation and stir up and say, remember who you are in Christ. Sometimes people go, I don't want to remember who I am in Christ. I don't want anything to do with Christ right now. It's not an easy place to be, but yet that is what we've been called to do as fellow believers in our faith in Jesus Christ. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:9 is, through 11, it says, for God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encouraging one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. Encouraging one another and building one another up. You know, and that just means opportunities when people are talking about the rough thing that they are going through. And of course, do not just slap on a cheesy Christian bumper sticker, because those are just so bleh sometimes, you know. But to just say, man, I acknowledge what you're going through. That is, I'm going to be praying for you. I believe that you're going to find the answer for this situation. I believe that God is working on your behalf. Whatever the Holy Spirit places in your heart, rather than just saying, well, you just need to trust God with it. Well, yeah, they know that. Or they should, but those things are, you do know what I'm saying? But just to come alongside them. Be like that Jesus in the creek and grab their hand and go, let's walk through this. This could be gnarly for a while, but let's go for it, you know? And rather than also just be, I don't want any, that's kind of yucky. I don't want to get involved in whatever you got going on. Everyone, man, encourage, build up, speak into their life the things that you know that God has shared with you, that has encouraged you, that you believe that you can just add to their faith, not take from it, not go, yeah, what is God doing in your situation? This is crazy. He's leaving you high and dry. But encourage them and build them up, especially when those people are hurting or doing wrong or making a mess of things or just can't seem to get it together. That's where we can step in and build up. And man, maybe that person's going through something right now that they don't have a lot of faith about, that they're pretty down in the dumps about. And you say, you know what? For a while, I'm gonna be praying for you every day. Let me kind of help take the weight of this. I'm gonna pray for you. I'm gonna send you messages every day of encouragement, just to step in and be that friend. And be that person that helps carry the burden. Sometimes we can have family around us, we can have friends around us, and we can still feel extremely lonely at times. And when you see somebody that maybe is going through that, man, I know in my life there's times where I've felt like I'm very lonely in this situation, but I don't really want to bother my family about it. I don't really want to say anything about it. And somebody will just come up and be like, oh my gosh, I was thinking about you 2 days ago. I'm like, really? Well, cool. I prayed about you. Well, awesome. This is how the Holy Spirit works. So if he places you somebody on your heart, like, man, don't just think, well, that's a random thought, but man, take that time to pray about them or send them an encouraging text or whatever it may be. But this thought has been rattling around in my head for the last couple of months, and I sometimes feel like I land on one side of it, and I'm like, okay, this is what I believe, and then the next minute I'm kind of challenged on that, and so you guys get to make up your own minds too, but, you know, and the philosophy of thinking about people who maybe just keep repeating things in their life, you know, and like going back to saying that it's just not my natural reaction to be like, it's okay, you're going to figure it out. It's actually my reaction. I would like to make and if you are like that, if you wake up and you just are positive and you want to encourage people, God bless you. Keep doing it. Some of us are working our way towards that. We're going to fake it till we make it, till we get there. But I sometimes want to have a PowerPoint presentation for them of like, you keep thinking that this is going to work and it's not working. Let's talk about that for a second. You know, or you keep trying this method and it's not working. You're like, I would like to present my case to them, I guess is what I'm saying. I'd like to have a case presented because I like justice. And I have a problem with that. I want people to know and to figure it out and then justice to happen, you know? And so that's my method sometimes. But this thought's been rattling around based off a post that I saw that I was like, I don't know how I feel about that. And it was coming off as saying, people need to be told that they are sinners and they are sinning. And I thought, I don't think I've ever had to be told when I mess up. I haven't. And hear me out. I know that there are certain situations, there are lack of mental capacity to understand that maybe what, and there's just also just flat out evil in the world. I absolutely understand that. But never have I needed someone to point out and say, did you know that you messed up there? Like, I know. Do you know what I mean? And so this tendency to have that, think that as Christians we are supposed to point out everybody else's failures, I can't get on board with personally. I can't personally do that. because I do believe so strongly in the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is his job is to, if we want to use the word convict, to convict or to bring to their realization that what they're doing is maybe wrong, or that, man, there is an error there, right? And so, you know, I fluctuate between, obviously, I want somebody, if I'm doing something blindly, I would love, that's causing damage and hurting people, I would love for someone to come alongside me and be like, hey, do you know that you're doing this? But, you know, I also don't find anywhere in the scriptures that's necessarily where I'm, I know there's a few, but the it's outweighed way more by build somebody up, encourage them, pray for them, come alongside them. And so I think that there's probably a time where we stand our ground and say, hey, this is wrong, and I've had enough. I absolutely believe in that. But majority of the time is, you know, I have these three awesome kids here, and I think it's fun to nitpick on them and tell them all the things that they need to remember to do. It's actually not a fun job. I don't love it. You know, and so I don't need that for other people in my life as guests is what I'm trying to say. That's not my place. My place is to come along and to edify and to build up. And hear me out. That doesn't mean I go, it's okay that you're screwing up. It's so okay. It's so okay because God loves you. That's not what I'm saying. It's not okay to say, it's okay that you've come. That's not what I'm saying. But to find the opportunity to speak the truth in a way that shows them God's love. That's what I've been called to do. To build up and to edify and to encourage and to remind them who they are, and to pray that the Holy Spirit will work in their heart, and to pray that they hear the Holy Spirit and they react to what the Holy Spirit is saying. I was talking about this in Selah the other day, and just how we go over all the time that we believe that they can hear the voice of God, okay? But it's not unlike when their parents call out for them to do something and they ignore it, you know? I mean, and they all laugh at that because they all know what I'm talking about. I'm like, you guys are downstairs, and your parents ask you to come upstairs and do something, and you act like you've never even heard them. You know, by like the fourth time when your mom is yelling at you to come upstairs, and you're looking at her like, oh, I didn't hear you. And she's like, yes, you did. That's kind of the examples we try to give them of, like, you hear the voice of God, but you can ignore it, and you can tune it out, and you can have selective hearing in it. And if I know there's times I've done that in my life. I was telling them about that this weekend. I know there's times that I've literally been like, God, help me with this. He'll start saying something to me. I'll be like, I don't want to hear it right now. You know, like, and I'll literally just, like, I just tune him out. And so my prayer lately has been like, Lord, I just pray that the hearts and the ears of these people just be turned to you and what you're speaking to them. I pray that they listen to it and that they hear your voice, because ultimately that is the only way that they are going to come to, any type of cleansing of it and making getting their hearts whole, made whole again. It's not going to be by me telling them over and over, because I've tried that and it doesn't work, unfortunately. But my job is to build up and to come in and to encourage and to walk with them, even if it looks like the building of their life is falling down. I can walk in and be like, man, there's a few cracks in here. And there's, that roof is looking a little gnarly. And some things are not going great. How can I come help put a patch on that crack? How can I help fix your roof a little? You know, and just, what else can I do to remind you of what God has promised you and what God said he would do in your life, and how we all at times can walk away from that and try it in our own way, in our own power, in our own ability, and it just never quite works. But to remind ourselves, like, man, I can come in here and help in whatever God's way that God's asked me to, but that means I have to keep my mouth in check sometimes. And this is where this week I've had good days with this and I've had bad days with that. I was at the soccer fields, and I'll tell you one thing. If I not positive on something, I probably really won't argue with it. I'll like throw my opinion out, but I don't really argue with it. But if I know the facts about something and you challenge me on something, I will argue with you. And I had a moment this week when I was standing my ground with someone and I was not going to, and they came back at me and did not like that I was standing my ground. And I walked away from that situation and I thought, there was no reason for me to do that right now. There's no reason for me to even act that way. You know, there's no reason for me to, you know, even go there. It doesn't matter. What's it going to produce in my life, right? And then there's other situations that are coming up that I'm just going, okay, God, just keep your hand over my mouth right now. And don't let me say anything that's not of you. Because I don't want to help break down anymore. I want to help build up. The house is crumbling and there's cracks and the roof is leaking and I don't want to blow a hole out of the side. I won't keep your hand over my mouth, Lord, because I do not want to stray from what you're doing in this person's life. I don't want to stray from what you're doing in my life, and I do not want to step into something that is not for me to step into. That's your job to do. And that has been a lot of conversations in my head that probably aren't going that great, you know, a lot of arguments that I've had with myself and with other people up in my head, you know, not out loud. But I want to read on 2 Corinthians now too, and it's in chapter 10, and this is Paul, of course, talking to the Corinthians, and, you know, I'll get to that later. But in verse 1, it says, "Now I, Paul, myself, urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am meek when face to face with you, but bold towards you when absent, I ask that when I am present, I need not be bold with the confidence with which I propose to be courageous against some who regard us as if we walked according to the flesh." I kind of want to interpret it in this way. I feel like he's saying to them, help me help you. Wait, just maybe when we're together, don't force me to correct you and force you to confront you on some of the things that you're doing kind of wrong, you know? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of forces. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all the disobedience punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. You are looking at things as they are outwardly. If anyone is confident in himself that he is Christ, let him consider this again within himself, that just as he is Christ, so also are we. For even if I boast somewhat further about our authority, which the Lord gave for the building you up and not for destroying you, I will not be put to shame. And in that scripture verse, I was just reading that again last night, and it just kind of like calmed some of the anxiety that I was having about a few situations. And, you know, it's I went to several youth things when I was younger, and they were really awesome, and they had great music, and they were very energetic. But a lot of the dialogue was, we're at war. And they really pumped you up for this war, you know. And again, like, you know, and you're a soldier, and you're at this, and you're all. And then I felt like a lot of times we walked out of there and we're like, all right, who are we fighting? You know, as in a dumb teenage brain, you know. And then sometimes it was like, oh, okay, it's because I am fighting you, because you're, I don't know, you don't believe the same thing I do. You know, and it's like, that's not really what it was about and not really for. And I don't necessarily think we always went about it in the best way, but on teaching our youth. But, when I look at someone that's maybe hurting me or hurting other people or hurting themselves and they're just in this pattern, it is so easy to look at that person and be like, you are the problem. You're the problem. And yet we read in there, it's like, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against something deeper. It's stuff that goes into the heart. It's things that we can't see. It's not this person. It is all these other things that we are fighting against. And my job is to fight speculating about it, making my own opinions about it, which is really easy for me to do. But to realize that I'm not fighting that person, but I'm fighting a battle that I cannot see. They're fighting a battle that I can't see. And that my job in Christ is to build up and to not destroy. So I have to keep that hand over my mouth when destroying words want to come out. So we started this new activity in our family. Brody started track this year. And so this has been new to me, and I'm really actually kind of loving just going and just like, oh, this is, I just get to observe. But, you know, I have always been in sports, and I've never been accused of not being competitive. I'm a competitive person, you know. And so I love sports. I love what sports teach our kids. I'm really, really all about it. But I don't know anything about this sport. So I'm kind of going, I'm just really observing and just kind of like, so what's happening now? You know, and just really kind of get the hang of it. But what I've absolutely loved, you know, there's just kids everywhere. And when a race starts, it doesn't really look, sometimes it doesn't even look like people are paying attention. But by the time that person's rounding, all these kids from all these different schools are at the, you know, where they can't pass, just screaming, go, 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 just encouraging their teammate on, you know, and I just thought, this is so cool. I love a good, you know, like, rally us up, you know, type moment. But I've just been watching these kids just encourage each other, and they finish a relay, and they're all just like high-fiving, and yeah, we did it, you know. And very rarely, if ever, have I seen them go, what did you do? You know, none of that. And I'm sure there's some of it, but I'm just saying I haven't seen it. And so I just have been sitting here, sitting back, and I have my dad's tendency to cry at the stupidest things. And so I'm just sitting there. I'm like, so glad I have sunglasses on, because this little kid just ran his heart out. Everybody's at the end cheering him on. And it's just so beautiful. And you pan back and go, man, what if that's how we treated one another? What if we just, man, this one girl clipped a hurdle so bad, and we were all like, go, you got this, you know, and you're just like, man, she fell down hard, but we, man, come on, get up, you got this. What if that's how we treated one another? What if those were the words that were coming out of our mouths, not like, man, your form's really horrible, you should maybe try something different, you know, then that's not what's, man, go. You got this. Man, I don't know inside of you. You can do this. This is a hard situation. I don't know how it's going to pan out, but I know God's going to walk with you. I mean, I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be believing for you. I'm going to show up. Even when it's uncomfortable, whatever it may be, I'm going to build up as I'm being built up in Christ. Because whether we're always wrong or always right about something, or sometimes we're wrong about something, I want to be on the side that says, I believe that you can do what God's asked you to do. And I believe that you can be the person that God's created you to be. I want to be standing on that that side of things. I'm not always on that side of things. I trip up and I fail, but man, I want to be on that side of things that says, man, I was really messing up, but do you know Jody cheered me on the whole time? I was really falling apart. I was really losing hope in God, yet Jody just kept telling me, that's the place I want to be. I want to remind them who they are in Christ. So I just encourage you, as you go about this week, control that tongue. Maybe for you, it's someone in your life that has crossed the line one too many times, or somebody that has hurt you, or maybe, you know, it's just a child that you just can't seem to stop chewing out, whatever it may be. I encourage you to just control your tongue this next week. Ask Christ to change those words of correction with maybe something encouraging, or maybe it's the way that you have been talking to you lately. Maybe you've been really talking poorly to yourself. Maybe this week you just give yourself a little break. Maybe you forgive yourself for some of the things. Maybe show yourself a little mercy and a little grace. And maybe stop that dialogue that we can all sometimes have. And ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask for forgiveness. Move on and build and build and encourage and remind yourself and remind one another who you are in Christ. If you'll just stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we get to continually learn and grow with you. And Lord, I just pray this week that we all have a moment where we are just able to be in your presence and that we are able to listen to your truth of what you say about a situation, that we can just maybe pause the nonstop talking that we have going on in our head and the arguments we create and the solutions that we create. And maybe we just listen to what you say about the situation and find peace there. And Lord, help us. May the words of our mouth be that of edifying one another and building up of one another and not tearing down. May we step into somebody's life and say, hey, I'm not here to point out all the cracks in your ceiling, but I am here to help you patch them. I am here to help you find your way in this, to believe that you have a God inside of you that wants so much more for you. And I will not critique, but I will encourage. Heavenly Father, we just pray for so many people that are traveling all over. We just ask that your angels be about them, that they travel home safely. We pray that you heal Michael's body, Lord. We just believe that you will. And we just believe that as he continues these next few days, he'll find strength and get stronger and stronger and stronger. And Lord, there's so many other situations that I have going on, that other people have going on, that this just isn't the place to talk about. But Lord, we just ask for your mercy and your grace to come in, to sustain us, to help us know what to say and what not to say and when to say it. In your name I pray. Amen.